Good to be with you this morning. Things are a little different this week than they were last week, and we're all very thankful for that. This morning we're going to deviate a little bit from our sermons through Matthew, and I'd like to talk to you about just a little word. Most of us, I think, are familiar with 1 Corinthians 13. It's a wonderful chapter on love. And we talk a lot about love, the two great commandments that Jesus gave us, to love our Father and to love our neighbor. And the end of that chapter 13, it says, these three remain, faith, hope, and love. And we think a lot about faith, because it's through our faith in Christ that we're justified before God. But I want to talk to you about that one in the middle, that little word hope, that maybe we don't think enough about that word. And so this morning we're going to be talking about our hope in the Lord. I know that last week, if you're like most of us, come Friday morning, or even sometime during Friday, we were very thankful that, for the most part, the hurricane missed us. It went just a little off the coast, and how thankful we were. And I know I gave thanks for the Lord that we were basically spared. But everybody wasn't spared. I know there were a lot of us aware of what happened in Haiti, where the hurricane went directly over one of the islands. There were a lot of Christians in Haiti, too, just like there were here. And I know it went right over the Bahamas, right over Freeport. And I know my mother spent a couple years as a missionary to Freeport. I know there were a lot of good Christians in Freeport, and that hurricane went directly over them. And it missed us, but it might not have. And what we will talk about just a little bit is the times in our lives where the hurricanes don't miss us. There's sometimes they do, but there's other times they don't. And that word hope gets us through the good times and the bad times. One of the things people, you kind of wonder about, why do we even have hurricanes? Why do we have tornadoes and earthquakes and forest fires and all these things that we sort of write off as natural disasters? Well, if you take a look at nature, you find out for this world, for us to live here, it requires these things. Hurricanes is the way that nature has of taking the heat from the tropics and moves it around. So it's sort of the Earth's temperature control. And without it, the tropics would be too hot to live, and the northern latitudes would be too cold. But the hurricanes help distribute that heat. Earthquakes are really the same thing. There's big plates on the Earth, and they move around as part of the way that the core of the Earth doesn't get so hot, because these plates move around and help distribute the heat. Other things like even forest fires have a purpose. Years ago, there was a huge forest fire out at Yellowstone National Park, you may remember. And I was on a business trip with a gentleman at the time. He said, why don't they just go out there and put that fire out? I said, well, that's the way nature has of maintaining things. Forest fires destroy old growth and have new growth. Without a new growth forest, there's a lot of animals that cannot live. A lot of the animals depend on new growth forests. And forest fires is the way that nature has of keeping these things the way that they need to be. In other words, this is the way God designed our earth. And He designed it with these things. Now, sometimes we think about, well, couldn't He design an earth that didn't have these problems? Well, that's not someplace I can go. God's the one that designed this earth, and when He designed the earth, I think He had a reason. And we'll take a look at some of the reasons why we have these things. Why we have the trials and the suffering that sometimes these natural disasters bring upon us. Look with me, I want to look at a couple verses, mostly from Paul's writings. If you look over to Philippians chapter 4, there's a passage we often take out of context. But just look with me very quickly in Philippians 4, verses 12 and 13. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty, hunger, abundance, and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Now, sometimes we take that last verse, but we don't take those before it. What Paul is saying, I know what it is to have a hurricane hit me and be brought low. But I know what it is to have that hurricane miss me and be rejoiced. I know what the circumstances, they can go up both ways. But what he's saying is, God will strengthen me through any circumstance that I find myself. Whether or not it's good or bad, my God is there to strengthen me. And what I want to look at with this today with you is our relationship to God should not depend on whether or not a hurricane hits us or misses us. It depends on our faith in Him and that little word hope that we'll go through. I can do all things to Him who strengthens me. Paul knew that God would see him through. He's not saying that God would fix all the problems. There's lots of problems Paul had. He was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was flogged. You go through his life, he had a lot of hurricanes that hit him head on. But he got through them because his God strengthened him through them. And that little word hope is what we're going to take a look at, is how God saw him through those problems and how it will see us through those problems too. You can think sort of about what would our life be like if nothing bad ever happened to us. Sometimes we like to think, well, it'd be really great, wouldn't it? Look at one little proverb before we get into the real text of our lesson this morning. Look at Proverbs chapter 30. It says, "Remove from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me. Lest I fool and deny and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God." If you go back to the book of Judges, often Israel had things really going good for them. And what happened when that happened? They forgot God. And they would turn away from God. And how did God get them back? He'd send the Midianites, or he'd send somebody else to punish Israel to bring them back. The idea is that if things go too good for us, then we get fat and lazy, basically, what happens to us. But we don't think things get too bad for us either. And God will strengthen us and hold us together. And that's what we have to depend on. We don't look for a world that everything is just as good as it can be. Because then, as the writer of Proverbs says, I'll forget God. Who is God? Who needs God if everything's going the way I want it to go? And the idea is we do need God. He will strengthen us through the hard times as well as the good times. And He will be there for us. Look with me now. The first, we're going to look at two basic passages from Paul. First one is from Romans chapter 5. It's one we looked at a number of months ago. But look with me again at Romans chapter 5, the first five verses. "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." We know we have that right relationship with God by our faith in Christ. "Through Him we have obtained access by faith into grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." Through all these passages, I want you to take a look at how that word hope keeps appearing. "More than that, we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through His Holy Spirit, whom He has given us." Notice what he's saying. We have trials. We have suffering in this world. There are times when hurricanes aren't going to go 30 miles up, but may hit us broadside. There are times in our lives where we're going to be called into a doctor's office and told that we have some chronic disease, maybe cancer or heart disease, and it's not going to go away. There are times when hurricanes will hit us. But what Paul is saying is that during these times, if we have our faith in the Lord, He will strengthen us through it. He will give us that endurance. And notice what the end result is. Hope. Notice what he says. He says these suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces the character, makes us who we should be. And character produces hope. The end result is our hope in the Lord. And that hope for the glory to follow. You notice that? That the hope is the end result. And sometimes we I don't know if we lose sight of what we need to be about. And that hope that the Lord gives us. And that hope is the foundation that gives us the strength to get through these hard times. And we know we have the love of the Lord because notice He's poured it into our hearts, the very love that we have. In fact, if you look at verses like this, you see how He interwines faith. He starts with faith. He goes to hope and He ends with love. You notice that in this passage? That those three great Christian principles, faith, hope, and love, are embedded in so much of what we need to be about. Look with me at the next passage. It's a little longer, so our scripture reading this morning, and it goes from Romans chapter 8. I'm going to start in verse 18, though. We're going to go back at the very end and take a look at a few verses before that. But look at starting in verse 18, our scripture reading this morning. For I consider the suffering of this present age are not worth comparing to the glory that is to be revealed in us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons or the children of God. For the creation was subject to fertility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself would be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain a freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we eagerly await the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes what he sees? But we hope for what we do not see, and we wait for it patiently. Now, there's a lot in this passage. In fact, I think I had a whole sermon just on this one passage a few months back. And we're not going to touch on all of it. But if you take a look at what he's talking about, we are going to face suffering in this world. It is part of this world. It's built into it. I don't know why God created the world exactly like he did. I'm not going to go back and say that I could have done better. You go back to the book of Job, and Job sort of questions God, and God turns to Job and says, Job, where were you when I did all this? I had a plan for this, and the world is created the way our God wanted it created. And notice even when he talks about the creation has been subjected to these things. Who subjected the creation to these things? Our Father, our Creator God. The world is the way that God wanted it to be. It was created according to his plan. And one of the great things, if you go back to Genesis, when you see that the God had a plan for all these things. And he said it was all good. The world is the way that our Father wanted it to be. But now this passage brings forth that there's really two ages. We live in this world now. And as long as we live in this world, we will have trials. We will have hurricanes that don't always go up the coast, but sometimes hit us head on. We will have suffering in this world. But there's another world. There's another age to come. And in that, we're going to have such the glory that you cannot even compare it to the present age. You notice what he says? He says, as much as trouble as we have now, and you go through Paul's life, and he had a lot of trouble. I mean, he was flogged, he was in prison, he was beaten, he was shipwrecked. We pray for safe travel. Paul spent a day and a night in the ocean. That doesn't sound like real good travel to me. We pray for things to be so easy. Paul didn't have them that way, but he says, regardless of all the things that's happened to me here, it doesn't even compare to the glory that will be waiting for me. And that's where our hope lies. And notice what that brings out, that idea that that's where our hope leads us to, is to the glory that will follow. There are two ages, the age we live in now and an age to come. There is suffering in this age. There's only glory in that age. But notice this is all according to God's plan. And it goes into forming us into the way that he wants us to be, to have that kind of hope that's embedded in everything that we are. So often, we live in a world that it's easy to get tied up in it. And we have all of those things that happen to us here, and we lose sight. As we talked very briefly last week about those things that are truly important. What Paul is trying to bring us through in this section, and to me, Romans chapter 8 is one of those tremendous chapters of the Bible. It's just so rich in bringing us to who we are in the Lord. It ends with that great passage that he who did not spare his son will he not give us all things. This is what it means to be a Christian. Not that we hope for this world, but that we hope for eternal life. And that's what Paul's bringing us to in this section. And notice how he uses that idea that we're children of God. That, to me, if you go through Romans 8, he mentions the idea that we're sons or children of God a number of times. We have a Heavenly Father that watches over us and cares for us. Yes, there are going to be times when we wonder, why do things happen the way they do? I can remember Wednesday afternoon when I was boarding up my house. I wonder, why do we have to do this again? Why do we have to worry about these silly old hurricanes coming at us? But we did. I boarded up the house. I don't think it does any good. I kind of wonder, when you put all those boards on your house, does it mean anything? But it makes you feel good because you think you've done what you can do. And sometimes that's pretty much what we do. But we wonder, why do things happen the way they do? I know there's a lot of things happening. This week, our brother John is back in the hospital again. And he's facing a number of weeks, just like he did before. And we wonder, why do these things happen? And I don't have answers for so many of the things that happen. But I know that our Lord will see us through them. That He will strengthen us and He will give us the ability to get through these things the way that He would have us to. And it's that hope that lays a foundation for getting us through the trials and the sufferings, the hurricanes of this life. And that's what Paul brings us to in this section. That He can see us through these things. And we need to understand that He is truly a God that sees us through. Why was the creation this way? Well, Paul brings it out that it's not permanent. It's not going to always be this way. And we wait for that age to come. This whole section points us to the idea that there are these two ages. The age we see now, and sometimes we get so tied up in it, we don't see past it. But there is an age of glory to come. We sing a song, and one of the songs we sing quite often on Sunday night, is that this world is not our home. It's one of our favorite songs that we sing often. And sometimes we lose sight of that. We want to try to make everything here and we hold on to everything. But this world is not our home. We're strangers. We're aliens here. We're just passing through, going to that home that's eternal. And notice what he says, the reasons we have the grounding. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. Paul refers to the first fruits a number of times, but I don't know if not many of us are farmers. We don't think about the first fruits of the harvest. But the first fruits of the harvest usually happen like the day before the harvesters go out. And they pick just a little bit of the fruit to give them an indication of what is to come. And in 1 Corinthians 15, Paul uses that same expression, the first fruits, to refer to Jesus' resurrection. And because of Jesus' resurrection, we can know we are going to arise too. Jesus was the first fruits. He was the very first one to show us what is to come. So our hope is not just based on a wish, but it's based upon the evidence that we have in the resurrection of Jesus. And we have the first fruits of even the Spirit itself. When you're baptized into Christ, you're given that Spirit. And when that Spirit grows within us, I think through the Word and as we mature and through our character, and it makes us who we need to be, the first fruits of the Spirit. But then he goes through, we've grown inwardly. We don't have it all yet. We yearn for it. That idea that it's all, we need it and we want it, but we don't quite have everything yet. That's why it says we've grown. We eagerly await. We don't have it yet. Throughout the Scriptures, and this especially in chapter 8, Paul talks about us being children of God a number of times. But in this section, he says, we are children of God, but we haven't fully gotten it all yet. We haven't gotten that eternal body, the redemption of our body. That means there will come a time when we won't have a body like this one, that we will have to have a rotator cuff surgery or some other kind of surgery. There have been a lot of surgeries this year. I almost lost count of how many times people have been operated on, it seems like. Because our bodies are weak. And they're always messing up and not doing what we want them to do. Or we're messing them up by the way things the way we treat our bodies sometimes. But we have weak bodies. But there will come a time when we won't have a weak body. We will at a time when we'll have a body that won't decay. It won't need surgery ever again. And that's what we wait for, the redemption of our bodies, that we'll have a body just like Christ. You can go through the Scriptures, especially the book of John. It talks about the way when Jesus came back after the resurrection, the kind of body that He had. That's what we wait for. And that's what our hope is leading us to. that we'll have the redemption of our bodies, that we will be like him. Look with me at that, the last two verses here, 24 and 25 again. For in this hope we are saved. And that's the verse, to me, a lot of times you come upon a passage and there's a particular little phrase, or in this case, one sentence, that everything sort of revolves around. And sometimes we go past it too quick. Notice that. In this hope we are saved. This hope gives foundation to our lives. It's what saves us, because we have that hope of eternal life in the Lord. If you go back to Hebrews chapter 11, it really revolves around the same idea with the great patriarchs. And the writer says, you know, they weren't looking for things on this world. They were looking for a heavenly home. That's where their hope was. And that's what kept them going through all the hard times that they had. And it's what keeps us going through the hard times that we have. In this hope we're saved. But it's not something we have yet. But we eagerly await that coming. Now I'd like to go back, and we started our scripture reading in chapter 8, verse 18. Go back and look at the couple verses right before it, because it brings out one of the ideas that really leads in. It says, the Spirit itself is witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And that's what I want to sort of leave you with today. We're children of God. And if children, then heirs. And notice what he says, heirs of God and fellow heirs, some translation, co-heirs with Christ. Now, there's a number of passages like this in Scripture. But to me, this is one of those scriptures that I cannot quite get my arms around, to think that I'm going to be a fellow or co-heir with Jesus. That's what Paul says. We talk about Jesus being the Son of God. What Paul is saying, we're going to be children of God just like Jesus. It's not like he's up here and we're going to be down here in the family of in heaven, that we have God the Father and Jesus the Son and then all the other little children down here. Paul is saying we're going to be fellow heirs or co-heirs. We're going to inherit right with Jesus. Now, to me, that's a concept that I cannot say I can fully comprehend, that I'm going to be just like Jesus. But that's what Paul is saying. We're going to be fellow heirs. That's the hope that we have. And that hope is based upon his resurrection. Because Christ arose, we know we too will arise. And when we arise in that final day, we're going to be just like Jesus, fellow heirs with him in heaven. In Hebrews it says, Jesus is not ashamed to call us his brothers or his sisters. In other words, we talk about brothers and sisters, we're going to be fellow heirs with Jesus himself. Now, I can't say I can totally understand that, but I can read it, I can believe it, and by faith, hopefully, it can be the basis of my hope. Fellow heirs with Christ. Provided we suffer, we make it through this world, we're going to be with him just as he is. In fact, in Philippians, it uses that expression, that we'll be just like Christ. That is a hope. That is the glory. And that's why Paul can say, regardless of all the suffering here, you can't even imagine the glory that we will have in heaven. And passages like this point to that kind of a glory. This morning, there are going to be times in our lives where we're going to suffer. And we're going to wonder why things happen quite the way they do. But we know we have a God that strengthens us through these things. And we have a hope, based on the resurrection of Jesus, for eternal life with him, that we will be just as he is. This morning, through your life, think about truly that hope that we have in the Lord. If you've never given your life to the Lord, there'd never be a better time to come to him than right now. If you need to come in any way, won't you come together to stand and sing?